Scripture reading is taken from 1 Kings 22 through 5. 1 Kings 22, 1 through 5. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people is your people, my horses is your horses." Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today."
Good evening. It's good to see you. We're glad you're here. One of the things that stands out about people in the Bible, especially those that are faithful, is how courageous they were, standing in the face of opposition, challenge, and difficulty. But they were very real people, and so they were also very honest about how they felt about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul discussed his appearing in Corinth. And he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11 talks about how these people, he began to list some of the things they did, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Can't read that and not be impressed with the amount of courage, strength, and fortitude it would take to stand in opposition, oftentimes with their lives in peril, and still be able to stand up for God, to be faithful, and even say and do the things that might lead to their demise. I read recently that public speaking is one of the most feared things in the world. In fact, it was rated above the fear of death. People fear public speaking more than they fear death. I don't know why that's the case. I think it's because people don't want to be embarrassed. Is that fair? Don't want to be out there. Don't want to be standing up talking. Well, as you might imagine, public speaking is not necessarily inherently a fear I have. Otherwise, this would be a tough job. But there is a certain amount of fear that goes with it just the same. I'll share with you one of my fears tonight. My fear is not public speaking. My fear is that I won't speak. My fear is there'll be a time when I need to stand and say something, and I won't have the strength and fortitude to say it. It brings me to our topic tonight. There is a man in the Bible, and I suppose there could be any number of them, but there's a man I personally want to be like. And I think on some level we would all do well to emulate this man for just such a time. When I was growing up a little while ago, the song was, "I Want to Be Like Mike." I just recently watched something, and little children were talking, and they said, "We don't want to be like Mike. We want to be like Steph." Little boys and little girls now want to be like Steph. And another generation wanted to be like Mike. Well, I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Micaiah. Have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 22, and let's see why. Micaiah is worthy of emulating if we want to be like somebody. I don't know who your hero is. I don't know who you want to be like. But as a gospel preacher and one who stands and teaches and says things, hopefully, that need to be said and when they need to be said, and the day may come when courage is necessary. You know, it's not really that courageous, truth be told, to stand up in front of you. Now, that's not to insult you. It's simply to say, I'm among friends and family. The times I have been nervous and I get back to the back, somebody will say, we had you. We're with you. Man, you can't fail. We all in. We got you. And I think, whew. For a while there, I was a sinking ship. And I thought this was going down. And people just affirm you and affirm you and affirm you. We're at a home game here. Week in, week out, we're at home. Fans and friends and family cheering you on. Almost can't fail. But that's not the case in the world, and that won't always be the case. What happens when the circumstance is hostile? What happens when the people are contrary? What happens when somebody is trying to shout you down from the back and demand that you change your message? Say it if you want to. What happens then? Now I'm going to be like this man, because that's the circumstance he was in. Five things about Micaiah from 1 Kings chapter 22. We had the first five verses read. Ahab and Jehoshaphat conspire and get together, and they say, let's go to war. Jehoshaphat in verse number 5 said unto the king of Israel, inquire at the word of the Lord. Let's do that. Matter of fact, it's always a good idea, and wise people did it. Jehoshaphat, for the most part, is a righteous king. Jehoshaphat says, before we go to war, let's inquire of the Lord. And so verse number 6, Ahab's inquiry is this way. Verse number 6, the Bible says, he gathered together the prophets, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Maybe it was the case that Jehoshaphat had seen this played out before. Or maybe Jehoshaphat knew Ahab. Or maybe he just knew that can't quite be right. Maybe he knows what 400 yes men sound like. Surely everybody can't say go up. Oh, they do. 400 of them say yes, let's do it. Let's go up. In fact, God's going to give you victory. And Jehoshaphat asked a question. Is there not another? Can we get a second opinion? First thing we learn about Micaiah is he was faithful. Listen to this description beginning in verse 7. Then the king of Israel gathered together the prophets. We read that. Shall I go up? Yes, go up. Verse 8, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. I was reading along through 1 Kings chapter 22 and I just stopped the phone right there. Wait a minute. There's one? They all know it. Yes. There is one man. Just one? Just one prophet in Israel. I couldn't come up with a better way to describe that than faithful. There are 400 yes men. Go up if you want to. But then there's one. There's one man among the whole nation. He's different. May it be the case that when the time calls or comes, somebody can already say, if you want to know the truth, there's one man we can get you to talk to. Don't you want to be that one man? There are people in your family clamoring about, Johnny Mandering around subject matters, tickling ears and making people hear what they want to hear. And then there's somebody in the family, hopefully a Christian, hopefully you, and they know there's one person. Hopefully every Christian is that person inside of their family. I trust you are, because chances are real good the family already knows. When you talk to him, when you talk to her, we already know what they're, you know what they're saying is, they're faithful. Day in, day out, they're the same way. Day in, day out, you can find, they're like a plumb line. You can find them exactly doing what God would have them to do. That's what Ahab says. There's one man, may it be said of us all, you are that one person, faithful. Point number two, we read a little further. And Micaiah endured hatred. You know, right after Ahab says, there's one man, he says, but I hate him. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Call him anyway. We want to hear what he says. Why do we want to hear him? He's faithful. We know what we'll get. But I hate him. Why do you hate him, Ahab? Well, Ahab is a lot of things, but faithful is not one of them. He already knows what he'll get when he calls Micaiah, and so he hates him. You know, nobody, at least in my understanding, wants to be hated. Nobody wakes up saying, boy, I hope they hate me today. I'm always puzzled when people begin sentences with this phrase, I know you hate it, but listen, if you know I hate it, why are you about to do it? Why in the world would you proceed further than I know you hate it? Nobody likes hatred. Nobody wants that. I don't think Micaiah enjoyed being hated, but I'll say this, it didn't bother him sufficiently to change. I don't want to be liked so much that my desire to be liked by man changes my relationship with God. While we would all rather be liked than hated, Micaiah understands Ahab. He knows who he is, and he's going to continue to live faithfully. Ahab says, I hate him. Micaiah endured that. It brings us to the third thing about Micaiah. Micaiah refused to conform or compromise. If you keep reading down, and we're skipping just a little bit, but verse 10 says, after they say send for him, Zedekiah the son of Kenana made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. What happened is, when they said, go get him, this man went to get Micaiah. When he arrived at Micaiah, he told him, all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. What you and I need to know is, Micaiah hasn't reached the king yet. Micaiah is on his way. Zedekiah has come to get him, and what Zedekiah has said is 400 men stood before the kings and said, go up. Here's what we said. In fact, here's what we all said. You're going to take these horns and you're going to push them and you're going to defeat them. Now, all the prophets have said so. Verse number 13. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. And then he says this, let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Imagine somebody coming to get you. We're going to see the kings. Now, on the way there, you're being told, hey, buddy, listen. Listen. Now, all the prophets have already said, go up. When you get in there, here's what we need. We need you. You know, I have lost sleep at night thinking that might happen to me one day. I just have this bad dream of being called into a room with a bunch of preachers and elders and saying, now listen, Eric, we want you to get out there. And here's what we want you to say. And I'm in a room in my dream with people, so I'm surrounded by who I respect, and I'm listening and thinking, but wait a minute. All of those preachers have already agreed. All we need you to do is go out there and say the same thing. I wonder, Eric, what are you going to do, man? You going to go out there and please those preachers? You going to go out there and make, you know, on some level you could almost fall on the sword, trip over your shoe and say, well, listen, all of these sage, wise preachers have said, who am I to disagree? On some level you could almost hide behind them. Listen, he said it and he said it and he said it and I'm just saying what they said. You know, people might accept that. When you speak for the Lord and you have the obligation to say what God says, I hope you feel the same weight. We talked about it a little bit in Bible class this morning. I just hope every Christian understands the exact same thing. Every time you speak for the Lord, you have the same obligation I do. You don't get to talk in your family in secret and say things that aren't true biblically. You don't get to compromise with your family any more than I get to compromise with mine. You don't have God's approval to say at a family reunion, well, listen, I know those Christians, I know they think that. I know they say that, but listen, on the real though, Micaiah refused to compromise. Everybody's saying it. What we need from you is you come on in here and say the same thing. We have a passage in the New Testament that demands the same behavior of us. It's Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to be like Micaiah. I want people to know there's one man. Listen, that dude's faithful. He ain't perfect, but if you want to know the truth of what God says, he'll tell you. There's one man, this guy, listen, he will not conform. And don't compromise. Listen, he'll say it's sinful. You know, I still say homosexuality is sinful. I still say that. Here's what the world does to us. They throw the German blitzkrieg on us. I think that's what it is. Is that blitzkrieg? Is that German? Is that right? Help me, you history buffs. Not German. Blitzkrieg, just run you over. Is that right? Nobody. Five people. Three people. Two. Can I get two? Can I get one? Can I get one? Okay. You know, they wrote a book, and part of the book on the subject of homosexuality, I think the book is entitled After the Ball. This book is written, two authors. Their intention is how to propagandize America to accept homosexuality. That is the purpose behind the book. Part of what they say in that book is they're going to do something called jamming. That's what it's called. And what it is if a person says it's wrong, they're going to shout them down. Just keep at them until they relent. And you may not have known what it was called or the process, but you've already seen it. There was a time a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe, where people were still kind of saying they disagreed. You'd get the occasional person saying, well, I don't. And then that person would come under such fire from so many sources that the very next day you'd see that person at a news conference saying, listen, I want to apologize to anybody I've offended. I didn't mean that. And I understand that we're all the same and I misspoke. And when was the last time you heard anybody publicly say it's wrong? There was a woman that said it not long ago, a woman preacher, and they did it to her. She didn't relent, but they tried. Who says it? After the world takes a position and runs people over with it, they then say it's done. That's behind us. Christians sometimes unintentionally accept that. And so Christians stop saying it's wrong. We just stop talking about it. The reason they're successful is there's no opposition in the marketplace. It's still wrong. It's still sinful. It will always be sinful. But nobody says it anymore. We're 2 or 3 years removed from the announcement, from the decision, and already it is a settled point of contention. No, sir. No, ma'am. Still sinful. All day, all night, every day, until the Lord returns. Sinful. And for those who refuse to repent, they will lose their souls eternally. And nobody will tell them. Oh, Micaiah would have. Micaiah, we're all saying it. You come in here and say the same thing. No, brings us to the next point. Micaiah referenced God too much for that. Micaiah said to that inquiry, to that suggestion, Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Micaiah, we're all saying it. What the Lord says, that's what I'll speak. You remember the crowd? 400 prophets. We didn't read it. But after the crowd of 400 prophets said yes, and after Ahab and Jehoshaphat sent for Micaiah, and after the messenger is coming on his way back, the Bible says over in verse 10, the two kings, they sat on their thrones in royal apparel. You have to appreciate what that must have looked like. They put on their show of strength and power. And Micaiah is going to have to walk before two thrones and two kings sitting on those thrones. And he's going to have to say, as whatever the Lord said to me, that is what I'll speak. He was willing to do that over the pleas to pacify. He was even willing to do that over his concern for himself. You know, one of these kings that wants to go to war is named Ahab. Go back to chapter 21. This is chapter 21. We're reading chapter 22. This is what Ahab has done in recent time. You know the man. His name is Naboth. Ahab now owns his vineyard. How did he get it? Verse 18. God says to Elijah, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? You know, one of the kings on that throne recently killed a man. And now Micaiah is going in to tell that man, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Micaiah knew Ahab, and he stood right before him and said, as the Lord speaks, whatever the Lord says, that's what I'll speak. Well, you probably know the next point. He suffered for that. After Micaiah explained what he had saw and how God had put, the Bible says, lying spirits in the mouths of his prophets, and God had told him he would go up and he would fail, and Micaiah revealed all of that to Ahab. The Bible says, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Kenana went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Can you imagine being a prophet of God, standing among these wicked men who are supposed to be as faithful as you are, and none of them are, and one of the false prophets come and punch you in the face? And then have the wherewithal to ask, now which way the Spirit of God went from me? Micaiah said, you'll see it. Down in verse 27, Ahab says, if I don't come back in peace, you put him in prison and feed him water of affliction and bread of affliction. Word affliction in the passage means oppression, distress, and pressure. You hurt him. You oppress him. You know what Micaiah does? Is he remains faithful. Micaiah is unrelenting and unmoved by these circumstances and these conditions, and he stands fast and speaks for the Lord. No, I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Micaiah. Three things by way of application as to how he did it. Number one, he bought the truth and he refused to sell it. Friends, I ask you this. If you have come to the knowledge of the truth, how does anybody wrestle that away from you? How does anybody get that out of your hands? The Bible says, buy the truth. Don't sell it. I don't know how. Maybe somebody could explain it at some point. I don't know how Christians can stop believing what God calls sins. If God called it a sin, it's a sin. And there's no amount of human wrangling or jangling that can change that. You can't talk enough to make sin right if God said it's wrong. By the truth. Tell it not, Micaiah wouldn't sell. Can't have the truth from me. Number two, he desired to please God more than man. You can see the interchange. He has every opportunity to fail. He has every opportunity to give in, every opportunity to compromise. The king and their power, the prophets have said it. The people want to go. Micaiah, what are you going to do? I want to please God. Do I want to be hated? No, I'd rather not. But I don't want to be liked by y'all so much that I won't do right by God. Ultimately, he desired to please God more than man. Number three, he trusted God despite the circumstances or the outcome. If you were a prophet in Israel, a faithful one, you had to know. You had to have some concept of what was going on. You had to have seen it go bad for prophets before you. You had a long history of faithful men and women, and you had to see how the wicked dealt with them. You would have had Moses, and you could have looked back there. You would have had Joshua. You'd have had the judges. You'd have had other individuals all the way throughout your history, and you would have known. The prophets were a lot of things, but popular wasn't one of them. The prophets were a lot of things, but secure and safe wasn't one of them. Imagine every time God called a man to be a prophet, that man must have known this could end very badly for me. Maybe that's why we find them so many times saying, wait, no, maybe. Jeremiah, I'm a child, I can't speak. Amos said, I was a herdsman and a tree dresser. God said, go prophesy, so here I am. Micaiah trusted God despite the circumstances and the outcome. I doubt those three Hebrew boys woke up one day thinking, you know, we could be in a fire tomorrow. I don't know that Daniel said, you know what, the lion's den is around. I could be. They trusted God. I only pray that you and I do the same thing. You do know the world is not going to give. It's not going to relent. It's going to keep trying to squeeze us and force us into submission and into conforming. John D. Berry said frequently, we're the last ones. Everybody else has already left. And nobody's standing up saying what we're saying. I don't know the group of people doing what we're doing. I don't know the ones staking their flag for God and Jesus and saying, we won't move. Who is doing that in the religious world? Christians are. Or if we leave the battlefield, the world is lost indeed. We let our light shine. Folks have already compromised. Oh, I want to be like Micaiah, even if it costs me suffering. Friends, I'm going to covet your prayers for me, and I sure will be praying for you, because I do not see how this is going to get better without us ending in that place. At some point, we have to appreciate the fact that God is asking the world to change, and the world is saying no. And there you and I are. Micaiah is a wonderful example for us to emulate, and may we all. I want to be like Micaiah. Thank God for his strength, his faithfulness, and his courage. Not a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of your sins. Confess his name and be immersed in water. Bury with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Why do you need to be baptized? Not to join our church, because we don't have one. Why do you need to be baptized? Because Jesus said so. Because the gospel is God's power to save, because that's the way humans are brought into a relationship with God, born again through the watery grave of baptism, based upon your belief and repentance and confession. And friends, without that, you can't enter the door. Without the door, you cannot be saved. Somebody needs to love you enough to tell you that, and we do. We invite you to obey the gospel. If you are his child and you've lived in a way that's not pleasing to him, friends, don't let the world get you. Don't let the world cause you to compromise. Don't let the world press upon you so much that they silence us into submission and to conforming. Let us be like Micaiah. What a wonderful, faithful example. There is one man, he said. And may we be that man. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.